My name is Grant Murata. I'm one of the elders here at Harbor Honolulu. If you've been listening to the news, and I didn't check the Star Advertiser this morning when I left, but it appears that we are experiencing a rise in anxiety these days. Did you know that prescriptions for anti-anxiety, anti-depression medication continues to grow? It was actually growing pre-COVID, but as you can imagine, since COVID, it's been growing 70% year on after that. It spiked even higher. Is it because of social media? Is it because of the global headlines? Maybe it's due to our economy or the American political scheme. I don't know. Our doctors can't tell us why it's happening. Our social scientists cannot tell us why this is happening. But this morning, I'm thrilled to tell you that it actually doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because we have a cure for what is causing the anxiety. We have a solution. And we've been going through the book of Philippians, where the major theme is joy despite any circumstances. We've looked at suffering, experiencing loss, wondering about the future, pursuing peace, fixing relationships. And until Jesus comes back and fixes every wrong in life, we will have trouble. But the good news is that Jesus came and died for our sins so that we could have a relationship with him. That's the gospel. The good news specifically for us this morning is that the passage we are going to look at is going to give us the key to happiness through gratitude, even when we have reasons to worry. And so this morning, let's ask God to help us understand his message so that we might have joy and peace no matter what happens. Let's pray. Jesus, you bless us with truth in your Bible, and you bless us with opportunities to learn and to start living our lives in ways that bring us joy as we bring honor to you. So help us to clearly understand your word this morning, and we ask that you help us with a fresh perspective, a renewed motivation to pray and build our trust in you. Amen. Let's jump right in. We're going to take a look at verse 6. And this passage is going to sound like a command, and tells us a procedure that we can follow that we won't have anxiety. So let's jump in. Verse 6, don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So when I first heard this, I thought this sounded pretty easy. It's a formula. Pray all the time, and then you will have peace. But it's really not that simple. Some of you may have tried that. I did. So in the morning, I would get up and pray. While I was commuting on the bus or driving, I would pray. When I got to lunchtime, I would stop to pray. Evening, early evening, if I woke up in the middle of the night, I went, okay, I remember, pray all the time. So I would pray. I would check those boxes. I would grind it out, right? Be like a robot. Just do it. But it gets dry, as hopefully some of you have experience, and you can imagine, it gets dry. Being like a machine is actually something the Bible tells us not to do. Being robotic is bad. In Matthew 6:7, it tells us that we should not pray with thoughtless repetition. So we shouldn't rely on flowery phrases. O majestic and sovereign Lord, the propitiation of our sins, hallowed be thy name. Who talks like that? It's totally correct, but if you say something like that over and over again, it loses its meaning. Prayer is not being a nag. It's not saying something over and over again to get your way. Like if you go to the store and your kid says, can I have a snack because I came with you? Or can I have a snack because I'm pushing the cart? Or can I have a snack because grandma gave me a snack when I came with her last time? But it is not about repetition, even flowery words. The solution to our anxiety and our worry is a relationship with God. This is not a command to not worry, and it's not a mechanical pattern to follow, but it's an encouragement for us to trust and follow him. So this brings up our first key to being happy with gratitude. The key number one is pray all the time with thanksgiving. So the verse 6, it doesn't say don't worry in a scolding way. Paul is telling us don't worry. Is that better? The tone is better. Don't worry. In the same way when you go to lunch and your friend beats you to the cash register and they tell us, hey, don't worry, I got this. He's saying it's going to be okay. He's got it covered to trust him. So when Paul is saying don't worry here, it's the same worry that comes from Matthew, where they're talking about food that we eat, clothing that we wear. He's talking about the birds and the flowers, how they're fed, they're clothed, and God cares so much more about us, and he takes care of them. Now, for some of us, and I am kind of a worrywart, when something happens, our first reaction might be worry and concern. But we are not to let that worry take us over. So don't worry. Right? Paul is not saying, don't be planful. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail, right? That's a common saying people hear. The Bible supports this. Look at Nehemiah, the guy who rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem. He had a plan to talk to the king. And before he even talked to the king, he had inventory lists, contact names, project plan, and timing. Luke 14, 28 continues this. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? So we should take care of our responsibilities and do what we can. And I personally like control. I'm a checklist kind of guy. I'm actually a project manager by profession. So let me share a secret with you about project management and project estimation. So there is this project management rule of thumb. Okay, so if you want to figure out how long something's going to take, you do an optimistic estimate. So everything goes right, it takes this long. And then you do a pessimistic estimate. So everything possibly could go wrong, goes wrong. You build in some contingencies. Okay, so now you take these estimates. You take the optimistic, you take the pessimistic, and guess which one you take? The conservative, the long one. You take the longest one you have, and you add 20%. Then you double it. That is the project management rule of thumb. Because we know things will happen that are just beyond our control. And yet in all of this, God is still in control. In Proverbs, it tells us, many plans are in a man's heart, but the Lord's decree will prevail. And a person's heart plans his way, but the Lord determines a man's steps. So we need to stop being anxious for things beyond our control. And this passage starts off with an assurance. Don't worry. Let's continue to unpack this. Don't worry about anything, but in everything through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So prayer, petition, request to God. In case any of you are wondering, I looked up the Greek, and this is what it means. It means pray, pray, and pray. I think he's telling us we should be praying. We should be talking to God. And it's like kids, or at least for my kids, if they come up to me, you know, at snack time, or my wife just baked some cookies, they'll come up to me and they'll say, I'm hungry. And so I'll look down at their smiling face and I'll say, hi, hungry. Right? They didn't ask anything. They just made a statement, like they telling me their name. It's like they express their wants and their needs to the universe and they just expect it to be fulfilled. But that's not what I want. You may think I'm being cruel, but I want my kids to ask. When they ask, they connect with me. They acknowledge that they need help, and they acknowledge that I have the ultimate authority over cookies in the house. Now, if I say no, they might try to go to their mom, but we're usually on the same page. But God knows what we need before we even ask. And so our Heavenly Father wants us to recognize that we need his help, we depend on him, and to have humility to ask for it. So even though we don't have control, God does. He's telling us that he's got this, he knows what we need, we just need to humbly ask for help. And he tells us it should all be done with a spirit of thanksgiving. A spirit of thanksgiving. It is not a mantra, something you repeat to yourself. It is not a clearing of your thoughts. That is not it. In fact, it's the exact opposite. You are filling your mind and remembering who it is you are praying to and what he's already done for us. So we are not nagging when we persistently come to him, when we have thanksgiving and trusting in what he has done and can do. So this brings us to our second key point this morning, pray all the time with thanksgiving. In fact, this is also our third point and our fourth point. Pray all the time with thanksgiving. If this is the only thing you remember from this morning, awesome. If you've been around church for a while, you've probably heard sermons on this verse. I remember memorizing this when I was younger. Maybe you have this on a poster in your home. Maybe this is a screensaver. And for me, even though I learned this about 30 years ago, it's still a very, very difficult practice to master. When there is a crisis, there's a change, even just a surprise, I need to remember the times that he has come through. Like 15 years ago, I was praying all the time, day and night. We were trying to buy a home, but we had a problem. In about a week, our rate lock would expire, meaning our loan might fall through. About 2 weeks after that, so 2 weeks, our lease was up, we had to move out, and the original owners were moving back, so we had no contingency. Oh, no big deal, right? Well, we had put all of our savings into fixing this place up. I liquidated our old 401k, and we needed this to work, and I was concerned. We needed this to work because our cabinets, even though installed, I don't know if you know this, if the cabinet doors aren't installed, the inspector won't clear it. Who even cares about the cabinet doors? Our loan was not going to be approved. And so one morning I was driving into work and I started crying. I broke down. I didn't know what was going to happen and I felt like I was jeopardizing my entire family. But I had to pray and say, God, we will trust you no matter what happens. And I didn't know. But it worked out. We moved out, we moved in, and time moved on. And so some years later, I had a project plan. Project for work is a big project. It involved multiple islands, multiple schools, and as you can imagine, lots and lots of people with personalities to deal with. We had legal issues. We had IT security issues. And if you've ever dealt with that, that's pretty significant. We had to deal with resources. We didn't have enough. And we had to deal with people who were actually against what we're trying to do. I wound up keeping a prayer journal. Because week after week, there would be things that's like, well, if this doesn't work, our project is dead in the water. And time and again, I saw how God fulfilled each promise and took care of the project. Even like a month ago, we were going to a trip on the mainland for graduation. And so if you've been to the mainland, you know there's preparation to make. There's weather, because we don't have weather here. There's weather to prepare for. We had to ship things up, and we were going to ship things back. We managed to make all of the last-minute changes to our family itinerary. We got there. We almost missed graduation, but we made it. And then we came home to relax. No, we did not. We actually had high school graduation to prepare for. I did a baccalaureate speech, so I had to prepare for that. In addition to our graduation, we had the grad party the week after because family was in town. And so my wife's brother decided to throw in a wedding in between just so that we could take care of all of it. We could help take care of all the arrangements. It was crazy. It was incredibly stressful. But since I was preparing this message, I thought I better practice it. So I prayed all the time, and I had peace, knowing that God could take care of these things. The problem is, I have situations in life where I desperately need to trust God, and I desperately reach out to him, and then I forget. And then there's a new situation that comes up. Prayer, faith, thanksgiving are areas that I continually need to grow in, it seems. And this makes me think of swim lessons. So when our oldest children, I have four children, my oldest two children took swim lessons. They went to the Kaneohe YWCA, and it was great. But I paid for these lessons, and then I had to be in the pool with them the entire time. So for my younger two kids, I went, I figure I can teach them myself. And so we go the process of learning how to swim. So first, it's blow bubbles in the water. Then you be able to put your face in the water, and then your whole head under the water, and blowing bubbles, right, you continue to progress. At some point, right, you get them to do this, which is scary, and then at some point, you get them to push off of the wall. So all of these steps, I started off really close, right, and then I got a little further, and they got confidence, they got strength, they got skills. Eventually, I don't know if any of you have done this before, you have them swim to you, and you start walking back in the pool. They might flounder and panic, and they tell me, Dad, why'd you do this? But I grab them right away. I says, hey, you're totally safe. You got this, and I got you. God puts me, he puts all of us in situations where we have to swim a little farther. But he's always right there for us, and we need to remember what he's done. He has created the universe. He parted the Red Sea. He healed the blind. He got us our house. He implemented many projects for me, and he kept my family from melting down, even though there was COVID and small kind family drama during that time. When things come up, we need to ask, knowing that God is listening. He's able. And remembering his faithfulness, we will have peace, knowing that it will be okay. And at times, I still forget. I'm dumb. I still forget. And so I am so glad that Paul makes suggestions in verse 8. Verse 8 will help us maintain a posture of thankfulness when we pray. So let's take a look. Brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any moral excellence and if there is anything praiseworthy, dwell on these things. So true, Jesus is the truth and the life. Every aspect of who he is and what he's done for us gives us the right perspective. Paul tells us that for him, to live is Christ and to die is gain. And every accolade he ever achieved was rubbish compared to knowing Jesus. So Jesus is true. Gravity is true. I'd like anyone to prove otherwise. So we should thank God for physics. God is dependable. He will never let us down. And God's word, because it's true, how much of it do we know? Do we understand? Have we memorized? Honorable. Honorable is something that is noble. Any act or deed that is worthy of respect. Just. Something that is right and fair. Do you know someone who went to trial and had a just decision? Praise God for that. Whatever is pure. Pure is holy. Something that is holy and pure, that is set apart. Pure honey. If you like honey, I don't personally like honey, but if you like honey and you think it's praiseworthy, think about that. It's what is lovely, something that brings forth love and kindness. Now, this is not lust-worthy. In my mind, this is a picture of a little girl picking a flower, taking it to her grandma, and her grandma says thank you and gives her a giant hug. That's such a lovely picture. Commendable, something that is admirable. Do you know someone who has served in a particular way? Do you know someone that has stood up for Jesus at personal cost? Excellence is something awesome, anything awesome. A sunset, an epic trip. Maybe you have a perfectly faded haircut from your favorite barber. A great meal that you prepared or someone prepared for you. Maybe it's the best ride of your morning set. And then praiseworthy, something that is worthy of praise. Something that brings glory to God. So when I am having a hard time thinking of things to be thankful, this list really helps. Because we live in a fallen world that is full of anxiety. I was misunderstood. I was abused. I don't like my job. My spouse doesn't treat me right. I'll never get the tranquility that I deserve. But instead of being frozen by worry, we should trust that in our imperfect world, God is sovereignly in control, and then I can be less anxious about my future. Because remember what it says in verse 7, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So we come to key number 5 this morning. Key number 5, pray all the time with thanksgiving, and you have peace. We're not promised answers, we're promised peace. Because sometimes the answers are not good. It might be a no. We might be waiting a long time. But we will have peace, and this guard is a military term. So imagine, we have like a soldiers, we have a wall, we have anti-anxiety missiles protecting us when we pray with thanksgiving. And by protecting our hearts and our minds, it means our thoughts and emotions. And those are the first places that go crazy when we have these situations. This is not just optimism. This is not the power of positive thinking. The Bible calls this the peace of God, which cannot be explained and it cannot be gotten any other way. So prayer with thanksgiving is peace. Now, I did think about this, and I remember a time when personally, I achieved peace a different way. Many of you know I did not grow up in a Christian family, and after 3 years of asking a lot of questions from patient friends and people who went to church, I realized that Jesus actually made sense. I wound up staying up late at nights before I was a Christian, just thinking about my future. One small mistake, one mess up, and I would be doomed, and so I was worried. When I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, October 5th, 1988, in the Holy Burger King in Kaneohe, I found peace and joy, knowing that the God of the universe loves me and he would take care of me and my future. And so I stopped doing anything. From the end of my senior year to about the end of my freshman year, I didn't worry, I didn't plan. God's got this. And I actually fell behind in life preparation. I had a difficult time graduating, but that is not a story to be talked about in public. That is not the way to deal with anxiety. We're not to live doing nothing and taking it easy. The Bible tells us that as Christians, we're to expect persecution. We should prefer our neighbors more than ourselves. He tells us to live our lives as a living sacrifice to serve one another in the things that he has already prepared for us. Luke chapter 9, verses 23 and 25, Jesus tells us, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself?" Now, if I told my 4 children this, that God tells you, the Bible tells us we should serve one another, 2 of them would say, okay. But the other 2, and I'm not going to tell you which 2 they are, would question that. Why? Why should I serve God? Well, the first is because Jesus tells us to. In John chapter 15, he says, "This is my command, love one another as I have loved you." Jesus served, and we're to follow his image. In Mark 10, it says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." So it's not about living my old life with a sprinkling of Jesus on top. It's serving God, loving others out of thankfulness for what he's done for me, so that you can help others learn about this same joy and peace. But on top of all of this, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10 says, "For God is not unjust, so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward his name in ministering and in still ministering to the saints." So there will be a reward. There's a reward. It may not be financial or fame or power, but when you see people's lives changed as you serve them, as God gives you opportunity, you will see reward. There's an old song, "Thank You for Giving to the Lord," and the scene unfolds in heaven where people will come up to you and they'll thank you for your act of kindness, for mercy, for ministry that you did at your church, in your workplace, in your home. Will have changed some person's eternity. Some of us, we are overwhelmed in this season. Maybe you got burned at a church, or at some system that you were stuck in that told us you had to work to earn your salvation. God is not looking to destroy your family, have you serve so much that you fail all your classes and flunk out or fail your job. Psalm 23 tells us, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul." And so this might be a season in your life where you need the good shepherd to simply help you to lie down beside quiet waters. Matthew 11 tells us, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." He'll give us rest. But the next line in Matthew 11:29 says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I am lowly and humble, gentle in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." So we get rest and peace when we walk with Christ. So for most of us, we shouldn't be getting peace by sitting around in the kiddie pool. We are stronger than we think, we can swim, and he is right there to catch us. So if we are talking to God all the time, being thankful for the things that he has done and aware of just how much we need his help, even if unsuspected, surprising things happen, we will have peace. And as we're serving others, we will see God doing miracles in the lives of people around us. You could actually say that our lives will be going swimmingly. We will have happiness and peace. But I do need to point out that this is all possible only if you have a relationship with God. There has to be a first step. Peace is available if we've made peace with him. Because Jesus has paid the penalty for our sins, all we need to do is receive this free gift of salvation. And then we'll have a relationship with the creator of the universe, our swim coach, our Lord and our Savior. Peace starts here. And so if you have any questions about starting a relationship with God, please come talk to me after service or talk to one of our staff or elders. Which brings me to our final key to being happy through gratitude and having peace. It is to pray all the time with thanksgiving. When there are times that you feel discouraged, remember what Paul did. In this chapter, verse 9, he says, "Do what you have learned and received and heard from me and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you." It's not just what he said, it's not just what he taught, but Paul lived a life of prayer and gratitude, and his situation was terrible. As we've been reviewing, he lost all his money, his possessions, his freedoms, his rights and privileges. He lost all comfort and security as he was writing to this church, who was facing disunity, false teaching, persecution. He was suffering in prison. He was wondering when he would be executed or when his enemies would assassinate him. But at the start of chapter 1, Paul writes how he continually gives thanks to God for all that they have done and all that God will continue to do through them. It's an amazing testimony. He said, "Don't just do what I said, but follow me. You've seen me live this way." And Paul was having an incredibly difficult life, full of obstacles, things to cause anxiety. So he wasn't bragging. He called himself the chief of sinners, the lowest of apostles. But as we've been studying this book, we can see that he found joy despite his circumstances. Paul reminds us that when we trust in God, not only will we have the peace of God, but most importantly, the God of peace will be with us. So I think when life is stressful or scary, we should pray all the time with thanksgiving. Let's remember how he has been faithful and good. Remember what he's done for his people over the centuries, and things that are good and lovely and pure and perfect and worthy of praise. And ultimately, we should remember Jesus' sacrifice. Remember his example, that despite the cross, despite the pain and the torture and the sin that was going to be placed on him, he accepted God's plan. He knew that it was all under control, and trusting in that fact is how all of us can find peace. Let's pray. Lord, life would be so much easier if we knew all the answers to everything that could happen. If there was no evil, no sin, we could wake up each morning just excited for the brand new day. But that's not how it is. Life is often stressful, chaotic, sometimes scary. So we are thankful that you've made a simple solution for us to pray. We pray to you, have a relationship and talk. So God, we ask you this morning to help us to remember how awesome you are, how faithful and righteous and patient you are. Help us to think about all the ways you have blessed us, to consider the beauty that you've created around us, and help us to remember that even when we think we are floundering, you're right there. We are safe and you've got us. God, help us with a peace that surpasses all understanding so that when the world asks why we are different, we can tell them how much you love us and how much you love them. May our actions and our reactions this week to whatever happens bring glory to you. Amen.